The United States has taken the first step towards slapping 100% tariffs on $1 billion worth of Chinese imports from bicycles to cell phones. Trade Representative Vicky Cantor said the government could not stand by while China failed to stop copyright pirates who steal American software, music, and other intellectual property. House International Relations Committee member Chris Smith of New Jersey says he's not surprised that China thumbed its nose at the Clinton administration.
Its capitulation on human rights last year, which was a very, very principled position that Bill Clinton took, that human rights were central to our relationship with China, especially as it related to trading. When he caved on that, he set in motion, I think, this kind of, I mean, the Chinese just feel that they can outmaneuver us.
Chris Billing in Beijing reports that China is ready to play tit for tat.
China's trade sanction hit list includes makers of U.S. cigarettes, alcohol, cosmetics, and music. Other threatened targets of Chinese retaliation are U.S. automakers and other companies hoping to set up factories and offices in China. China says it has shown ultimate sincerity in talks aimed at resolving the dispute, and it says the United States will bear full responsibility for any trade war.
New U.S. sanctions could take effect in 3 weeks. Japan, which only recently began importing U.S. apples, is investigating the discovery of pesticide residue on some. Officials say the amount was too small to pose a problem. Major League Baseball owners have lifted the salary cap they imposed in December, a move striking players called an illegal brushback pitch. But as Al Freeman reports from Washington, the dispute is still a long way from its seventh-inning stretch.
The owner's decision to drop the salary cap can be likened to an out-of-court settlement. The action was taken after it became clear the National Labor Relations Board would rule against the owners in their war with the players over unfair labor practice charges. Owner's attorney Chuck O'Connor says one distraction is now gone.
The basis upon which this agreement was entered into was to encourage the process this weekend toward the resolution of the contract and to get the NLRB charges behind us.
But neither side believes the lifting of the cap is any guarantee of collective bargaining success. Players Union Chief Donald Fear says the real work is yet to be done at the bargaining table.
We'll try and get an agreement, and if we can't get it on day one, we'll try and get it on day two, day three, and day four, or until it's over.
Today's the day the players are expected to respond to the owner's plan that would rely on a luxury tax to hold down players' salaries. Then we should have a better idea of how much common ground there may be. Al Freeman, CBS News, Washington.
O.J. Simpson defense lawyer Johnny Cochran is furious over the abrupt end to yesterday's tearful testimony, implying it may have been staged for impact.
I saw it coming, and we tripped trying to say it was not fair.
More on the trial now from David Dow in Los Angeles.
Jurors will be spending time this weekend with family members and the last image they saw in court. A sobbing, mourning Denise Brown in black, telling of an enraged O.J. Simpson ejecting her sister Nicole from his home.
Grabbed Nicole, told her to get out of his house, wanted us all out of his house. Picked her up, threw her against a wall. Picked her up, threw her out of the house.
When court reconvenes Monday, Brown will be back on the stand, perhaps to elaborate on that alleged 1982 incident. Outside court, she has made no bones about her belief that Simpson killed her sister and Ron Goldman. On cross-examination, the defense, probably Robert Shapiro, will likely try to suggest that Denise Brown is a woman on a mission and gently point to some alleged inconsistencies. CBS News legal consultant Stan Goldman.
If it is true that the defense does have statements made by her after the murders denying the fact that there was a question of domestic violence between her sister and O.J. Simpson, I think that will be the big issue raised by the defense.
Prosecutors have said they may finish this first phase of their case by late next week, a phase aimed at portraying a motive, that of a jealous, abusive man who killed his ex-wife because he couldn't have her anymore. Then they will start laying out the physical evidence, the bloody trail that they claim leads straight to Simpson. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
O.J. Simpson's son from his first marriage has pleaded no contest to charges from a hit-and-run incident last October. 24-year-old Jason Simpson was fined $700 and placed on probation. Cities and towns from the Mid-Atlantic to New England are experiencing their first big snowstorm of an unusually meek winter. Outlying suburbs of New York City could get a foot of snow. Parts of New England expect as much as 2 feet. Michael LaCivita is on storm watch at the Virginia Department of Emergency Services in Richmond.
What our concern is at this point is the blowing and drifting snow that's going to occur during the next 24 hours. We're expecting wind chill factors of minus 20 and 25 because the temperature is supposed to drop to 15 and we're supposed to get 35 mile per hour winds.
Airport closings and flight delays are reported from New York to Washington. Amtrak service is also running behind schedule. What makes a space shuttle's tail glow in the dark? Scientists have theories, but no firm proof. As part of the experiment to learn more about shuttle glow, Russian cosmonaut Vladimir Titov hoisted a bright red satellite from Discovery's cargo bay this morning. The satellite's ultraviolet telescope will spend more than 4 hours studying the phenomenon. We get more on the mission from Barry Bagnato at the Johnson Space Center in Houston.
The crew has been toiling with the kinds of medical, agricultural, and industrial experiments that on the space station will be meat and potatoes. To drink, Discovery's crew will be taste-testing Coke and Diet Coke, dispensed through a high-tech zero-gravity soda fountain. All in the name of science, says NASA's Ed Gabris.
Taste perception changes both with age, with illness, and in microgravity. And a better understanding of that, you can design products which would taste better, and therefore you'd be more likely to consume them.
Preparations and maneuvers continue for the centerpiece event of this flight, the rendezvous with the Russian space station Mir. Discussions are being held with Russian officials about whether chemicals spewing from a tiny jet leak on the shuttle could damage the space station when Discovery comes near Mir. Mission Control here is optimistic the rendezvous plans won't change. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Johnson Space Center, Houston.
The president's new budget won't be officially released until Monday, but it's available already and should make for heavy weekend reading inside the Beltway. Rob Armstrong reports.
Mr. Clinton's blueprint will not balance the budget by the year 2002, as the Republican-backed balance budget amendment would require. In fact, the president envisions a deficit of about $190 billion a year for the next 10 years. Senate Budget Chairman Pete Domenici of New Mexico says it doesn't go far enough.
All he will do is extend some caps. He might tell you he's cutting this and that, but the net effect is there are no new cuts.
Domenici refused to say the package is dead on arrival, but he indicated it's already in intensive care.
But we're going to accept and look at all of the positive things that are in it, and there may be some. It'll be insufficient to accomplish our goals of changing this government by making it smaller and returning power to the states.
While Democrats say they like what they see, congressional Republicans are going to do the same thing to President Clinton that Democrats did to President Reagan and President Bush's budgets. Largely ignore them and substitute their own. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The time on the World News Roundup is 10 minutes after the hour.